I don't really sing like a white winged dove, but I do some political talk. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 3:30 on Friday, and that means I'm not even doing the talking. We've got Civic Media's very own Terry Barr for what is good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back, Terry. It's so nice to have you on this beautiful Friday afternoon.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? I am loving this weather, and I don't know about you, but it could stay like this, through the winter for me.
Yeah, I've got no problem with high 70s. Got no problem with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's kind of the theme. We're going to be talking in these two overlooked stories that I found about the season ahead, and of course, Halloween. And I don't know about your neighborhood, but my neighbors are already decorating. And I think they go out for Halloween much more than any other holiday now.
Yeah, I see that across neighborhoods now. It used to be a couple of pumpkins, maybe. Yeah. Out in the front now, I mean, people are unloading their pocketbooks at the Home Depot for all the decorations. It's impressive.
Well, here is a kind of fun story. As a kid, I remember going to the Milwaukee Public Museum many, many times with family and with school trips. And, you know, they are doing some recent renovations until they actually move to a new location, which will happen in 2027. But some of these recent renovations, many people were worried about some of the exhibits being taken down and not put up either until they move or not at all. And one of those is the Streets of Old Milwaukee. That is one of my favorites. You feel like you were walking through Milwaukee in the 1900s. It's just so well done. Well, it's not only back after some renovations and better than ever right now, but for all you Halloween lovers, the Streets of Old Milwaukee are going to be decorated with old Halloween props from the 1900s. How perfect! These are often handmade by whatever the homeowner would have around. So it's a great way to sort of see what people used to do when they didn't have a lot of money or an opportunity to buy things, as Maggie mentioned, at a place like Home Depot. So you can see this starting this weekend through November 4th at the Milwaukee Museum. And it sounds like it's going to be so cool, Maggie.
I've been a huge fan and supporter of the Milwaukee Public Museum for a long, long time. Certainly having worked at Milwaukee County, I talked with their executive director frequently. The county's support of the museum and its new home, which I've been driving past where they're finally building for the new museum. Such an important time, and what a cool exhibit. And again, such a great opportunity to see how folks used to decorate for these different events. Mm-hmm. I know I'll go check that out. And I didn't know about it. So thank you very much, Terry, for informing me about a way to celebrate the holiday. Yes, that's amazing.
Yeah. And they say they've never done this at the museum before. This will be a first of Halloween decorations. So I guess we're all a little bit Halloween crazy, so that's okay.
I love it. Good for the museum. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Terry.
Good. Here's the next one, and I'm really, really loving this. There is a Wisconsin author. He is now writing a book about some of the things he loves, which includes the Badger State, old farms, and trying to figure out, especially if they're abandoned, who may have lived there? What's the story? Mm. And autumn. So, Aaron, if you will, let's hear a little bit of Chris Hardy's writing. This is as he reads it to me by him.
I stopped the other day on a country road for a moment or two, a brief respite towards the end of another busy day. I drive by my point of rest every day. It's a barn no longer in use next to an abandoned farmhouse. The barn's not that old. The rounded roof appears to be in good shape, and it still has its faded red paint. Next to it is a small silo. There are many of these scenes dotting the countryside, buildings on smaller family farms no longer needed, where the economics of farming has ended their usefulness. They stand silent and empty, eventually succumbing to the forces of nature. But on this late afternoon, I was beckoned to stop. The hillside behind the barn was a canvas of reds, orange, yellow, brown, and green, illuminated by the sun and framed by a bright blue sky. The setting sun was already casting a shadow on the floor of the valley, and in a few minutes, the scene would be lost. I pulled off the road to capture this moment of pure autumn in Wisconsin.
Again, that is author Chris Hardy. He lives in La Crosse. And as we know, with all the hillsides around La Crosse, it's just gorgeous all the time, but especially at this time of year. So happy autumn to everyone because it starts on Sunday.
How lovely. He's describing that magic hour in the late afternoon. And I think Wisconsin provides some of the most beautiful and bucolic moments, especially in the fall. You know, Terry, I've been lucky to have lived all over this country and abroad for some short periods of time. But every opportunity I have, whether it's the lakeside downtown landscape of Milwaukee or the gorgeous drive in the Kettle Moraine or driving up the Door Peninsula, perusing the Apostle Islands, the areas of Rhinelander, certainly the bluffs that Wisconsin offers, and the beautiful expanse in western Wisconsin along the Mississippi River. I really think the fall time in Wisconsin is one of the most beautiful. And I think it gives us all a moment and an opportunity to reflect on how lucky we are to live in this state, right? And frankly, how much agreement there is amongst Wisconsinites about how important our environment, our natural resources are. Wisconsin has always been a conservation state because we all enjoy the outdoors so very much. A brief story about when I'm late fall camping. I have done it extensively in Wisconsin, but I also had an opportunity to do some late fall camping in Colorado. Now, Colorado opposes a little bit different weather swings in late fall than does Wisconsin. And thank goodness I was prepared. Now, here's where it gets a little interesting, Terry. We had, of course, pitched our tents in an area that had a bit of a windbreak down at a river's bend. And for those that know Colorado, I was in the Poudre Valley. And so in the Poudre Valley, we had our tents pitched. We had our fire going. It was a long day of getting everything set up. And of course, one of the great things about fall and winter camping is you don't have to worry about your ice melting in your coolers because everything stays naturally cold. But it got really, really cold that night. And so as the group of us were all huddled around and we had done a goodly amount of hiking that day, we all unshod, right? We took our hiking boots off and put our feet up to warm ourselves by the fire. And as we passed a bottle of what could have been an adult beverage around while regaling ourselves and each other with old tall tales, I noticed a bit of smoke emanating from the bottom of my feet, Terry. I lit my freaking like hiking socks on fire sitting around the campfire. And there I am in my camp chair, falling over, swatting the bottom of my feet out as my friends absolutely died laughing at me. Of course, because I've done a little bit of hiking, I had the liner socks on and then my woolies over it. So no harm to the tender bottoms of my feet. But those hiking socks were definitely RIP after that little fall camping evening fire adventure.
Yeah, I bet you never expected that. And you've got so many great stories that I could just listen to you tell your stories every time I get a chance to chat with you.
I love not knowing what you're going to talk about, Terry, because it brings a smile to my face. And it usually triggers some hijinks from my younger days. I will say this, folks, when you got your feet up and your shoes off, don't let your hiking socks on fire. That is a lesson I only needed to learn but once. And Terry, I thought I would do you a favor this weekend and tell you a little bit of what might be good local and overlooked. This one coming out of local Wisconsin, or local Milwaukee, excuse me. It was National Cheeseburger Day this past Wednesday, which everybody loves a good burger. And there was a Wisconsin cheeseburger that made the list of the nation's best. Kopp's Frozen Custard made Yelp Elite's list of the 20 best places to grab a cheeseburger. Of course, Kopp's known probably as much for their burgers, their cheeseburgers, as they are for its custard. They came and ranked 11th on the list and was the only Wisconsin restaurant that made Yelp's elite list of the best places to grab a cheeseburger in the United States. And interestingly to note, the number one spot is in Hawaii, which I wouldn't have guessed if you would have given me 49 guesses. Hawaii would not have been on my guess of the best place to grab a burger.
Does it have pineapple in it?
That's what I was really curious about that. There's this great joint just over the 16th Street Bridge that has a Hawaiian burger, and it has a slice of grilled pineapple, ham, and Havarti cheese on the hamburger. And I like to put a little Red's hot sauce on that puppy, and that is delicious. What's your favorite burger, Terry?
I like mine medium rare.
Oh, of course.
But I love it. And this whole new idea of the smash burger, where everything's kind of put inside the burger, and it just is, it's almost like when you were a kid and you ate pizza burgers.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So it's kind of fun to like try and make up some new recipes of your own. And that is one thing my husband loves to do. And I would have to say that his burgers are actually one of my favorites.
Oh, well, that's so lit. Well, Terry, I'm going to have to impose upon you and your husband sometime to have one of his now Wisconsin Civic Media famous hamburgers. You know, you're of a certain ilk.
That.
Oh, I would love it too. You know, you're of a certain ilk when your mom fried you up some pizza burgers back in the day. That is of a time, Terry. Listen, enjoy this most beautiful weekend. Enjoy the Brewers qualifying for the playoffs, Terry. And thanks
Isn't
so much.
It's wonderful.
It is absolutely fantastic. Thanks so much for sharing again in this 3:30 slot on Fridays. What's good, local, and overlooked here in Wisconsin. Thanks, Terry.
Have a wonderful weekend, everyone, and same to you, Maggie and Aaron, as well.
Folks, when we come back, I'm going to talk about this appeals court ruling tossing Republican Senator Corey Tomchick's defamation lawsuit. You're not going to believe how this one got started or the ridiculousness of his argument. And frankly, this is part of the attack on independent media outlets, not just the one that reported on Corey Tomchick's alleged homophobic slur, but the attacks that can sometimes come the way of little outlets like Civic Media. We got that story coming up for you next in this last segment of the Maggie Dawn Show this week here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.